Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we are recapping Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse in full spoiler details. So if you haven't seen the movie, I would get out of here. And I'm here with the ranch variant of Spider-Man. It is Spider Tommy. How's it going?
What is, does that mean like I shoot ranch out of my arms?
I think it's like Condiment Man.
Oh no. Well, Michael, I actually have news for you. I recently had a child, and I think for this podcast, I think you should hold this baby because I think it's really going to work for our identity. It's just going to make the situation a lot better if you just hold this new baby that I had to set up just for this joke to make sense.
Well done. Well done in that respect. Tommy, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Listen, I feel like we just are getting banger after banger right now. We got this movie. I feel like there's a movie I love that just came out before, but my mind is blank right now. It's been great. Television has been great. A lot of shows are ending. Yeah. And, you know, I'm blossoming in my own life as well. I'm
like you've got a new Spider-Man Funko Pop, I see.
I do. It was a Secret Santa Christmas present.
Oh, so I guess it's not that new then. It's only half a year.
It's like been hidden away, you know. Okay. It was in another multiverse, and then I went into the I went into my spot on my body, pulled it out,
perfect,
and then put it on the shelf.
Perfect. All right, Tommy in his spots. Tommy, you know, sometimes we are able to chat a little bit about how we feel about things, but I'm coming into this, I have no idea where you stand on this movie. This is like genuine fresh reactions here. So I got to get it up top. What did you think?
Yeah, I usually like try to, I poke you. Michael doesn't like to give anything. I'm someone that I love to give everything away. And so sometimes I poke, but I could tell with this one, you were like, there was radio silent on the text messages from Michael. So I knew that there was no talk communication to be had. I loved it. I didn't know a ton going into it. I tried to stay as reverse. I did not know it was a part one. I did not know a couple of the twists, and I think that worked and elevated for me. I got a little bummed afterwards, so let me tell you, because I saw some comments about how like it was like, this is good, but it's not the first movie. And then like, why can't we just give this movie its roses for a second? And like, it's like, yes, is it not like the first movie? Sure, but I think it takes bigger risk and it takes bigger plot risk, bigger. It needed you to understand itself more than the first movie. The first movie still had it grounded in Miles's world. There's still a lot, even though it's multiverse, there was a lot that was still we understood. And I think for that, I actually think I like this one better than the first one.
Yeah. I'm still grappling with one over the other. So I guess you know how I feel about the first one, which should tell you how I feel about the second one. And actually, I think the big thing for me, and this is something that like I'm always a big defender of, a lot of people had issues with Dune because Dune kind of just ends, and this movie kind of just ends, like basically like you get two acts of a movie. And in my opinion, sometimes you just have to stop down and be like, this isn't the full story. Like this is what this movie is. It's not going to give me that just yet. And I feel like I can't fully judge it until I see the next one.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing, is it the to be continued that affects it? Because, like, think about an example of this is Endgame, Infinity War, right? That's a part one, part two, but, like, it really doesn't, like, throw it in your face. And I wonder if that, like, kind of that gotcha moment at the end kind of rubbed people the wrong way of, like, I was in it. I thought, this is the thing. I will say that 2 hours flew by for me. And towards the end, I definitely, like, you know... You know, in a movie where you can tell your butt's getting a little sore, you're like, all right, this has got to be like 30 minutes, 40 minutes tops. That's where I was at when the end thing was happening. I'm like, all right, I think I can last 40 more minutes. And it cut to a to be continued. I'm like, and I can see the merit of why people don't love them. For me, maybe it's because it's a comic book movie where like literally every comic book you have to wait, you get like 1 inch of a story and then you have to wait a week every single time. So maybe I'm just used to that of like, all right, I'm good. And as long as it's not 4 years, give me like a couple months. Like,
I believe it's coming out next March, so we have less than a year. So that's great. Yeah. Let's see what else. This movie, I'm so happy to be back with Miles and Gwen here. And seeing how they grew up, we kind of get a bit of a time jump here, and I don't know, I just felt at home, and like the art style that, like, since the first one came out, so many people have tried to replicate, and it's just as good as the first one. And then this one now, like, that you could just, there's so much love put into this movie, and I want to soak it up. I do love it so much. I think if I had any big complaint is I was really overwhelmed sometimes. It is, like, fast. This movie is fast. It goes quick, which I don't mind, but, like, there's, like, colors, and, like, it's, like, too much to absorb sometimes.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, I agree. And I don't know if it's a criticism, but just, like, it's a fact. It is a very fast movie. Like, that whole Spider-Man chase scene, I want to rewatch 20 times just so I can catch every detail in it. And they do just, like, multiple times I'm like looking over here, and then the small editor note comes up on the right screen. And I'm like, wait, what? I have to look over here. I agree with you. It definitely moved very quickly. Side tangent, because I remember the movie, guys, it's been a real long day. Guardians was really good. That's what I was trying to say in the beginning, but could not think of the name of the movie. And for the people that probably were like shouting at their podcast, Guardians, great movie. So we're on a high with Marvel right now, slash Sony. It's, you know, I guess this is Marvel adjacent.
I mean, it's just a good time for me. Like, this month is for me kind of. I'm excited to see Flash. I'm excited to see Indiana Jones. So let's keep this baby rolling.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully not Mayday, the baby. Hopefully she's not rolling.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of want babies to roll over. Like, that's like one of the first steps, you know.
That's okay. That's fair. Also, a side note: I'm putting this like tease up. I have a big theory about Mayday. I think she's the key of the whole thing.
I mean, do you want to talk about it now? I don't see the
problem. Yeah, let's just jump into it.
I mean, this is going to be a mess of a podcast anyways.
It's a multiverse. We're hopping into spots, pulling plots here and there. I think Mayday is the key, because the whole idea of Miles being this anomaly, right? And it's seen as like it's a bad thing. But the thing is, if he's an anomaly, then he shouldn't exist. He should also like disappear like the thing. And proof of why Miles could be a beneficial anomaly is because Mayday only exists because of Miles. Peter literally says it. It's like, I only had, and we did the idea, and like, I think that's why I love this movie, the psychology and the philosophy of this idea of like destiny and canon, what's canon and not. The thing is, wasn't Peter's canon the idea that him and Mary Jane break off and they were never going to get back together again, except for he met Miles, which got them back together, which also led to Mayday being born because he wanted to, after experiencing Miles, he wanted to be a parent now. And so in that way, Mayday is an anomaly. So I think that's going to be key. I don't know. I don't have the end threads of like how it's going to piece together, but there's something there.
Yeah, I totally see that. It's kind of, Mayday's random, right? Like, what? Like, for the first time I see Mayday on screen, I'm like, why does he have a baby? Why is this important? Why, like, it seems like more of a crutch than anything. So, yeah, I see where you're going. I like it.
Yeah, why give us that whole scene? I mean, yes, it's to show their, like, bond and stuff, but watch out for babies, okay? What I've learned from WandaVision, every show, the kids are important, okay?
Yeah, kids don't happen on accident.
And maybe feed them brown liquor if they're misbehaving.
Exactly. I was thinking the other day, I was like, Tommy, I feel like we don't have enough inside jokes on the podcast, but that's a big one. I feel like we got a few.
That's one. I think me forcing us to become fans of things you do not want us, me saying the podcast is a proud stand of things that you do not want us to be.
What was the one? You like really were pushing me on one that I was vetoing hard. This is bad for me, but we both have horrible names today. Great podcasting.
Hey, if you listeners out there, if you remember that one joke that we barely are setting up, we'll send you like a signed photo of one of us that says you did it with an explanation point.
Were you like supporting Cyril Karn or something?
Maybe it definitely was something where I'm like, we are, oh no, we were a fan of cults. I was really,
that's it. It's we talked our way into it. Let's go. We're on
fire.
Sorry,
everyone. You don't get the photo, the signed photo that says we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a cult. Listen, yeah. I'm just saying it made, this is a side tangent, but Mandalorian did kind of push cults and never resoluted that. I think we are pro cult still. I think we're supposed to be if you're a fan of Mandalorian.
Is like the Spider-Man world, is that a cult? All the Spider-Men.
Listen, the HQ, you know, we will get it. Miguel, he definitely gave, like, so there is a, I read something where someone was comparing him to another group, and my memory is shot, everyone. So like, this is going to be great.
Well, this whole podcast is like, it's that thing that we talked about the movie. And
then we'll remember it like 10 minutes later and then come back to that thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Mady is important. I think, like, and I think that's what I love about this movie transitioning is like, there's everything felt intentional. Like everything, the even like things that seem nonchalant, like the whole cake metaphor, the idea of Miles trying to balance two cakes, you know, have his cake and eat it too. And this whole, how much of that is like a theme of the entire movie. I just loved, I loved everything about this. As fast as it moved, like the whole beginning thing is basically just him living life. And I could have seen his dynamic with him and his parents for almost 2 hours. I could have just watched their like manner, like, it was quirky. It was fun. The way they parented, the way they like have to like hype each other. The parents hype each other up afterwards. Like you did good. Like it's so funny and it's so clever. And I just love this movie. The more I'm talking about, the more I realize like how much I'm into this.
You know, the first one I feel like focused on the dad a lot, but I feel like this one focused on the mom a lot, where like, you know, of all the characters in the first one, I don't know that she was one I connected with the most with, but this one, I'm like, I felt every beat with her. It was like, and I also have a theory about the mom.
I do too.
Should we throw the mom?
Should we say it at the same time? Do you think it's the same theory?
Okay, let's try it. Okay. Can you count us in?
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
She already knows he's Spider-Man.
Oh.
Okay, you say mom's gonna die.
Yeah, I hope not, because I like that they, A, we should give females in movies way more roles, and I love that. I just hate that that's my first instinct because of media has taught me that. It's like, oh, she's getting a lot of time now, and like the idea that like maybe Miles's canon is different than the other ones. Everyone else's, it's the chief that died. You know, maybe in this one, it's the mom that dies. And I think, if I remember correctly, I think in the comics, like that was originally, I don't know, but I have a feeling that could be just because of how much some of her dialogue felt very like ending, like come back with a cake kind of dialogue, felt very like final speech moment kind of stuff. But I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. But your theory, I think, is also correct.
Yeah, because when we get, again, jumping all over the place, but there's the point where he goes to the other universe and he's talking to the other mom and he says, I'm Spider-Man. In that moment, I was like, she already knows. There's no way she doesn't know. Like it's all the signs are there. So like I expected in that moment for her to be like, I know. But yeah, no.
Well, that twist,
we could still get that.
Yeah, and I mean, that twist, like... I wish I could have said that I caught it. I did think her asking about the hair, like when he's revealing the Spider-Man thing, when he asked about the haircut, I'm like, his hair, I guess maybe it's a little flatter. Like he was running around a lot. Yeah, like yeah. I really was thrown off. But then it made so much more sense when it was like the big reveal.
My thought was the mask, maybe like, and yeah, I was like, it's such a weird line to have in there. But, and then once I found out basically everything that she had said kind of cued us to that point, which is really smart.
And like, who's Spider-Man? You thought was like a quirky. Oh, maybe I guess. Like, maybe she doesn't watch the news. Like, I was like still trying to justify it. I'm like, well, you know, like maybe, you know, maybe she doesn't watch a lot of news. She lets her husband deal with the whole, you know, police stuff. She stays away from it all.
Yeah. So, interesting stuff there. Tommy, let me ask you this. You want to do like a cameo corner, because I feel like there's a lot to dive into here. How do you want to start this? You want to start with your favorite? Anything pop for you?
Of the different Spider-Men?
Different Spider-Men, any character, that, even if maybe there's somebody that was in the trailer that, you know, I knew about, but you didn't.
And that's the thing. I don't even know if they were in the trailer or not.
They actually showed a lot in the trailer, Spider-Man-wise.
Michael, don't you get me started here.
I know.
Don't you get so many. I mean, this is what I love about this movie, is it's so clear that it's comic book fans that that make these movies. Like, even the small, like, this is, I'm going a little off your cameo into like just Easter eggs in general, like the comic book warning at the top, the editor notes, there's so much that makes it feel like a comic book. There's so many things that just extra details that they don't need to do, but they still do. And with the characters, I felt that, like, gosh, live action was so fun. Seeing, like, it felt like everyone was represented, even like obscure animations, like a Disney XD animated show, like so much stuff that like was in there. Prowler, I mean, obviously, let's talk about Donald Glover.
Yeah, I basically queued this up just so I could talk about him.
Yeah,
but yeah.
I'll mention my other. Because I caught it and it was so obscure. I love seeing Bombastic Bagman. Yeah, that was great. They're just the PlayStation joke. But yeah, Prowler, what did you think?
This is like my. I don't know about you. I don't know if you had a rowdy theater. This one got a pop out of our theater for sure. People were very excited to see it, myself included. This is somebody that was set up in Homecoming as like almost a throwaway, and it seemed like they were never really going to come back to it. And it was like more of like, you know, a fun cameo more than anything. But and I'll be interested to get your takes here in a minute if you think that this could lead to more, which I'm really hoping it does. But there's also a lot of history between Donald Glover and Miles Morales, because the inspiration for Miles Morales came from Donald Glover wearing the Spider-Man suit on Community. So it's all full circle, and like it meant so much in so many different ways to me. So I was very happy to see him.
Yeah, I think that anytime you're going to get a Miles Morales thing, I think Donald Glover is going to be somewhat like in it. I or at least acknowledge, because even in the first one, wasn't he on the TV or something? Like, I feel like his Community episode was on the TV or something, if I remember correctly.
In Spider-Verse?
I thought so, but again, could maybe, I don't know. But either way, I think you always, like, he is the, without him, you do not have Miles Morales. So to me, it's like, you have to pay respect to that. And I think, you know, live action Miles Morales, right? That's been announced.
It was like a very like, I think it was like in an interview, like they're like, it's happening, but like, there's no like official, you know,
I feel like he's got to play Prowler again. Yeah. You know, like he can't play Miles. He's a little too old, a little too old. He's got to be the uncle, because, and he did, I loved his character here. I thought it was so funny. He had a couple, he's just, I'm a big Donald Glover fan too. He just has a way of acting that just like, even when he's playing kind of like uninterested, there's just like a chemistry with the camera that I get from Donald Glover.
So we'll start our campaign. Bring Prowler back, bring Lando back. We need all of him in the Star Wars content for sure. Let's see what else. I watched a video, I guess, if you really are interested in like every single nitpicky character, there's a video done by Heavy Spoilers that kind of breaks down all the Spider-Man. Again, the PlayStation 4 one was good.
I think Ben Reilly was one of my, I love when they can make fun of themselves, and like Ben Reilly just like making fun of how broody and traumatic he is, and also voiced by what's his name? From
Andy Samberg.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Guys, if you cannot tell, it's been a long day, okay? Forgive me.
You are forgiven.
I loved his role. We could go through the list. I don't think there's a single one that I didn't appreciate being in here. And like, I felt like it just felt like Hobie was great. I loved it. Like, Spider-Punk was so fun.
I wore my, I don't know if you saw on the stories, I have I made my own Spider-Punk jacket, and I got to wear that last night. So I kind of was introduced to the character in the Spider-Man 4 game with the one of the suits you can put on. Did I say Spider-Man 4? Spider-Man PS4. I was very excited for this character, and actually like maybe one of my favorite new Spider-Man that we've gotten across both movies. I thought he was just a lot of fun, and just like F the patriarchy, and just it was great.
Well, and he knew how it was going to go. I think that's the thing too, is like, it's not like he's just doing it to do it. It's like, he was 10 steps ahead of everyone. Mm-hmm. He was the smartest one there.
Yeah. Yeah. So very cool animation style.
Yeah. So. Did you like, I like the spider horse. I liked the obscure. Like, there was some real, the T-Rex Spider-Man.
Yeah. Which is like, that's like a run of comics. Apparently the, it's like,
like literally what anything exists in Spider-Man can be anything.
I guess so. Yeah.
Also, we got our, which is now, we got a reference to the MCU.
We did. Yes. And again,
some nerd, Dr. Strange and some nerd.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of. Did we see Tom Holland anywhere?
No, and honestly, I actually think that's not just them calling him a nerd. They don't know he's Peter. Like, I think that's part of the continuity, right? Because he got rid of the fact that he's Peter Parker, so they know it's somebody because they're all Spider-Man, so they know it's, but they don't know who it is.
Dang. Okay.
That's my thought on it. Is like, that's why it's just some nerd. Still trying to figure out who that Spider-Man is.
Yeah. Okay. So we meet, I believe the comic is Spider-Man India. I don't know the character's name, but we go to this, very much like, I don't know if it's just like India or like the Indian inspired universe. But we get, Indian Spider-Man.
Mumbai and Manhattan combined. It seemed like in a lot of those universes, it's like the idea is like whatever the main, like, you know, we saw Miguel's as well. It's like, whatever the country has basically took over, and so they're versions of the U.S., which I thought was fun. So yeah, it's Mumbatan.
It's kind of weird to say.
Yeah.
But I thought a lot of the sequences in this were really cool. I liked him as a character, and of course, it's kind of like the point that sets off everything for the movie, where he, Miles kind of messes up by saving the situation. But that was a cool scene too, when the thing was falling and like they were like running through buildings saving people. I was like, this is like, and there were points where I was like the suspense was like, oh no, everyone's gonna die right now. Like, that's how dire the situation looked, and then they figured it out.
In the amount of like, in the animation, like, yes, you can do anything, but you still have to like think about the fit. You have to still plan it out, right? Mm. It is crazy the amount of flipping around, the amount of changes, the amount of jumping and leaping acrobatics. It was like the Olympics out there with the amount of gymnastics happening. And I just thought, dear, how is this not going to get an Oscar again? like how is this movie not going to win everything?
Yeah. So yeah, all that was really cool. And
what did you, yeah, stop down here? Because we talked a little bit about the canon. What are your feelings about the idea of this, like, canon? Has this been discussed in like the comics of this idea? Like, I think everyone knows that, yeah, Uncle Ben always has to die of these stuff, but it's never been discussed as this, like, for me at least, this idea that like this is canon and you cannot mess with these core things.
Yeah, I don't know that it's ever been defined in that way. Again, like, I feel like that's always kind of like, everyone, all the Spider-Men do have that traumatic event. It's just whether or not they've like officially titled that. But like the whole concept of like the canon event, you can't mess with it and your universe will collapse or whatever. Like, I've spent a lot of time thinking about it and like trying to find the plot holes in it, because I feel like there's something there that doesn't make sense. And I think the thing is, I just need to not think about it that much. But yeah.
Because I agree with you. There's something, I'm wondering if Miguel did more than just, do the announcement. I wonder if he's covering. I wonder, like, and that's why I'm so ready for this part too, because I do think there's more layers to all these characters. Like I was saying, Mayday, you're a big one for me. I'm watching out. You think you're just a cute little baby. You're not. There's more to you.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, my big thing was like, is Miles Morales the Spider-Man? Because there was Peter Parker in his universe. So how is he that universe of Spider-Man? I guess because he died and now he.
Well, no, they said it. So it was very quick, I think, by Spot. They pulled. So where he is now is Earth 42. That spider that he got bit by was supposed to be in that universe. It got pulled out of that universe. Okay. So that's, he's an anomaly. He is not supposed to be Peter Parker. Peter Parker was supposed to be the Spider-Man in that world, but because now he existed, that Peter Parker now needed to die to save him. And now he's created a whole new timeline he didn't even create it. Spot. Honestly, it was like, oh, this is the thing, he gets blamed for it. And it's like, listen, dude, he just got bit. I don't think it's his fault that happened to him.
Yeah, let's talk about Spot for a second, because it's a very interesting villain. Probably, I don't know that he made me laugh that much, but he was like, it was very like slapsticky, like probably one of the funnier villains we've ever had, really, just in terms of like jokes. And he's also like stumbling his way through everything, especially in the beginning, like that first fight, like Peter cannot catch or Miles cannot catch him. And but the whole time, like Spot's not like doing anything great. He's like falling through holes and being clumsy.
And that's the thing, right? Like, it's like he's the weekly villain. And it's like, I love that they set it up. Like, he felt that way. It's just like, I didn't think we were going to see more of Spot. I thought he was just going to be like this running joke of like, he might be in the background always being like, you're my arch nemesis. And it's like, all right, Spot, see you next week. Like, I didn't think it was going to be actually, yeah, he is his arch nemesis and he's going to destroy everything.
Yeah, and I think that's what's interesting about this, and it's probably going to be my biggest question going into this next movie, part two, which is really weird to say because it's the third one, and I'm going to be so there's like a lot of different possibilities for villains here. We have Miguel, we have Spot, and we have who we get at the end, which is the Miles Prowler. Do you see like which is the main villain here?
I think it's going to be a combo of all. I think Prowler is going to be for a bit. I also wonder if they're going to introduce even more, because if you listened, because Spider 42 went to the other world, there's no Spider-Man in this world. Mm-hmm. And so the Sinister Six basically run things. It was like on a news recording. So are the Sinister Six going to show up as well? Like as a little mini battle? Yeah. I don't know. I think Prowler is going to be the beginning of it with Sinister Six. Then I think they're going to either join up. He's going to get the other Miles to see like the error of his way or whatever. Then jump into Miguel. You get, and I think either it's a combo Miguel Spot fight, or it's like get Miguel back on side, and then everyone teams up to fight Spot.
Yeah, I think that's what's interesting, and what you kind of mentioned it. Like, is there more to Miguel's plan here? What he's been doing? Because you know. He kind of has a temper, I think, and he's very jaded. But from his perspective, I don't think he's being like, he's not trying to be a villain. He's trying to protect the universe.
Well, I think he sees a lot of him. If he's actually genuine, like he did mess up and he truly just wanted the family, and there's not more to it. I think he sees a lot of himself in Miles. And in that way, a lot of times you do attack that person instead of like mentoring them, you lash out at them because it's like lashing out at the bad qualities of yourself that you see. And I think that's a big thing for him with Miles, is like you are naive, you think that you can do everything, and like you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like you can't, there are certain things that are just out of your control. And like that's the thing that I'm going to be intrigued, is how they land that theme, because like I do kind of believe there's some things you just do have to, you can't change everything, but I feel like the movie's going to be like, but Miles can change everything.
Yeah. He's got a lot of interesting stuff. Another thing that I wanted to touch on, and actually might be another complaint, because I did not rewatch the first one before coming in, but you know what I did do? Plug to our buddies over at Two Dudes. I re-listened to our podcast talking about the first one. And one of my biggest praises about the relationship between Miles and Gwen is that they were a good example for younger people of what a healthy platonic relationship can look like. It was my favorite part of that first movie, and how the lesson was, we're friends. And I feel like this movie has sidestepped that a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever felt like they were friends in the first. I feel like it was more she was, but like I see what you're saying. It's like I do want a movie where it is just like we are platonic friends, and I think it could still land there, because I think they've set up like avenues for them to break off. Like I think I could see Miles being like, "Hey, I did have a crush, but I cannot. What you did is too far. Like what happened, we cannot come back from." And where they do go off in that separate path. But then they're not really friends anymore. I don't know. I see what you're saying. Like, it's like, it would be nice to see that, like, not every time you have a male and a female on screen together, they always have to become a romantic couple.
what Gwen points out is it never works out anyways between the two of them across any universe. So
unless he breaks all anomalies, there's nothing canon when it comes to Miles.
Yeah. Which is, I think that's a fun twist for the character, that like that he can't be held down by like all the same traumas that other Spider-Men have.
Yeah. But this is what I'll say. Like, I think there is a competing someone that I thought was kind of like giving him an eye a couple times. Spider-Bite, the Margot, the Avatar. Was it just me or was there like a little like...
Well, I just, there might have been a look or two, but also it was like she was pretty willing to help, like, for almost no reason. So it's like, there must have been a crush motivating this or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I got on my radar. Okay.
She helped him escape, and like, even then I was like, okay, that was like, okay. But then, like, at the end, she's with all the other Spider-Men, like, she is coming to help now. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think we touched on Gwen. I think Gwen's. I love how we start with Gwen. I love how this is kind of, as much as it's Miles' story, it's also Gwen's story a little bit more in this one. And I thought Gwen and her dad was so tragic. The whole storyline with Peter as well, I think was interesting. I believe in the comics it's a little more animosity between them, where it's like Peter does find out and gets jealous. It becomes like a jealousy thing of like. And there's a little bit like that's why he goes for the crocodile powers. Obviously, we don't have the time to dive deep into that, but still, it was really tragic in the scene where he's like not backing down on arresting her. Like, like, man, we're really diving into this deep right away.
Yeah, I don't know about that choice, man.
He walked it back a little bit, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you got to hear her out at least. So it's your daughter.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and then maybe his plan was like, "Let me arrest you," but then he shot the gun, and I'm like, "All right, now you're like, you just arrest her and take that down. I can see your merit of like, all right, let's talk about this in another location." Yeah. But like, now she just moved one step close to you, and you're like shooting your gun off. Sir, come on.
Yeah, well, I do like the parallel as well between Miles's dad and Gwen's dad both being the captains, and in the first movie the dad was very much obsessed with the concept of Spider-Man catching Spider-Man, and he blames Spider-Man for Prowler's death, Aaron's death. So and then this is like a very it's an exact parallel.
Yeah. Deciding a little bit, do you think that this movie, do you think they planned the three movies right away? And I haven't looked into this of like they had, because if they didn't, how simultaneously they were able to blend this movie and like set things up from the first movie and make them feel like it was planned, like the bagel, you know, the fact that Spot is the bagel guy, right?
Yeah.
Or even like most movies ignore post-credit scenes and pretend they didn't even happen even though they tease something. And I thought genuinely that's what they were going to do with like Gwen appearing above him. And it was just like a nice teaser of like, oh, she can now travel through time. The fact that they ended up finding a way to connect her story so that that worked and he was in the, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, again, showing that layer of like other movies would just be like, it doesn't matter. We don't need to connect why that scene was there. I just thought this movie was so tight with that.
So there are some things that I can see that were pretty planned, but it's hard to tell, like, you know, I think most movies when they come out, you know, have no assurance that there's going to be any more. So they kind of have to do the thing where, hey, here's a thread we might pick up. The bagel thing felt very much like a, you know, I don't know if they had, like, I feel like that was it was such a minuscule joke that kind of people really blew up over. And because it got so much attention, that might've been something that happened there.
Yeah.
I will say one thing that you probably are not aware of. This was supposed to be one movie, the two movies. That's interesting to note. And actually, here's the thing. Here's my hot take. I would have sat down. I would have watched another 3 hours after. Like, I was, when the movie ended, I was like, I'm not done. Like, I could spend a whole day on this.
That's what I was saying. Like, at the 2 hour mark, I was like, I'm a little sore, but I'm okay. Like, the time flew by. And maybe that's because it was so fast paced. I didn't have a chance to catch my breath. So I was like, I was always in it. I never had a second where I was like, okay, I'm getting a little sleepy. Spoiler, usually I watch these movies late at night, and this time I saw it at like 6:30, so I was also pretty like, you know, I'm not tired at all. We can go to another movie. Let's go see Little Mermaid or something.
But I don't know. Like a big event movies like this, I feel like it's 4 hours. Who cares? Throw an intermission in there. We're fine. We'll do it. But I guess that also they get more money if they do two separate movies. So, yeah, something to think about. But yeah, no. What else? What else do we have?
Jessica Drew, Spider, yeah. A pregnant Spider Woman fighting like a badass. I thought she was great. I really liked her character. I also liked the idea that like she's Gwen's mentor, while Peter B. Parker is Miles's mentor. I thought both of them, they're like quips back and forth at each other as these like mentor angry people. Was fun. I thought, man, I was actively upset during this movie, Michael. When the reveal that Gwen and all them were talking about it and no one was letting Miles in, I was like, I'm like, my arms crossed, my friends, like, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm really mad at Peter B. Parker. Like, he has a lot of explaining to do, because like,
yeah,
like you went through it with Miles, and to just be like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you all this stuff and just act like everything's okay. I don't know. It really bothered me.
I think you do have to consider the time jump a little bit. He's probably definitely spent way more time with Miguel at this point. There's hints of reluctancy, and then obviously at the end, he kind of, I think the biggest thing about this movie, and like, you know, talking about, you know, it's so much structured. Like I've never seen a movie that ends this way. And I, you know, I've seen all these Marvel movies, all these big franchises that connect movie. Like, I've never seen a movie that ends like this. And it ends in a way that like, you get a first act, you get a second act, and the end of the second act, they're like putting the team together and they're about to go get revenge and take down the big bad guy, and then it's over. It's like, that's wild. I feel like maybe one of the Matrix movies did that, but I don't know.
Yeah, and again, the first one, I think that was the big thing with the first one, is I've never seen a movie like this. And the fact that you can still say that about the second movie, like, to me, this is like if Everything Everywhere decided to make a trilogy. And like, it's an impossible task. And I feel like this crew is really doing it well. And like, in a way that like, I'm not, like, again, we have our nitpicks, but it was never like, this didn't work for me, or like, this was a weird plot thread. Like, everything felt justified. Everything felt real. I loved his friend playing the PS4. I loved like the little, like the language was also so real. Like, again, it felt like these are three-dimensional characters, and not just I'm the mom who's going to say this thing and, you know, be this one way. But it's like, no, she has depth. There's personality. There's uniqueness to all of them. So much of it. And like, it was funny too. It's dark, right? It's talking about the fact that his dad has to die. They are telling him straight up, his dad has to die. There's nothing you can do. And yet there's so many jokes throughout the entire thing. I think one of them made me laugh so hard, and it was like so dumb, was the cakes, where it's like, he goes, I didn't even think about the fact that he's slamming these cakes, and the fact the cake comes back and just says, I'm not proud, cracked me up.
So let me, because I was wondering about this. Do you think that the cake got messed up and it said that? Or do you think the baker, who was very mad at him, because he had all this extra work she needed to do, I think she might have sabotaged him.
Maybe she's the robot. Maybe she's the big bad of the entire thing.
Yeah. I mean.
She might be his next arch rival. Cake lady.
Cake lady.
Do we need an arch nemesis?
I mean, I think what's cool, and the big thing that I'm hoping for, like, having talked about the villains, I hope Prowler is a big part of the next one. And I think it's a good way to, like, you know, like Star Wars wanted to do with Darth Sidious, right? You know, I think if this is like the Prowler trilogy, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because talking about the humor, well, it's not even a question. I'm just going to tell you. I'm over the pointing. I'm over the Spider-Man pointing. That joke is played out.
I literally was on a call with my friend today, and we said the same. I said, it feels like they feel like they have to. And I'm you've done it. We're good. Yeah. We don't need it anymore. But I feel like they feel like if they don't, they're going to get called. And like, this is the problem with fans. I do think they get called out if they didn't do it in this movie. They would have been like, man, really wish we would have had a finger pointing moment.
It's like... I want to meet the person that would complain about that.
I don't
coming on
it.
This podcast.
I don't need it at all.
Yeah. I feel like there were a couple things that, like, it felt like they were just kind of playing the greatest hits humor wise, like the kind of callbacks to the some of the best jokes on the first one, the bagel thing, for instance. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
it's not the funniest. It's not the funniest superhero movie in my mind, but
yeah, definitely not the funniest. It definitely, I think there were some callback jokes, but I think, like, listen, I love a good callback joke, so that is the way to my art. We forgot actually one of the funniest things to me, and I can't believe we didn't talk about this as fun at the top. I thought Lego Spider-Man was the funniest thing.
Yeah, that was really good.
Especially when they're like, he's a great, he's one of our greatest agents.
Yeah. No. Yeah. When he calls him, he's like, thank you so much. You're one of the best. It's like, wow. No, this is great. I was hoping we'd see more of him, actually. Maybe, I guess we have room for that in the future. I think the big thing is, and like, I do like callback jokes, but for me, it's kind of like, you know, when somebody does something and you laugh at it, and then they think, oh, well, let me keep doing it because it works. You know, it's like, you kind of have to find that middle ground where you're just like, all right, I guess comedy is all about timing, and timing includes when to stop.
Oh, you know what other running thing that is not working for me?
Okay.
Sony trying to make Venom a thing. Stop trying to make Venom a thing. We did not need, Venom got a longer scene than some of these other, we have Tobey Maguire in the background of a scene, like his, all those iconic scenes, but we get the showing of the shop in Venom, like it's an iconic place that people love and they're like, yes, I love that shop. I get
that
it.
Went right over my head, actually.
And I get it, they want people to now want to go back and rewatch Venom, make more money, Sony, I get it, but please stop putting Venom references in your movies. Let it die.
PSA.
Like, yeah, like I feel the same way. I think most people are gonna be like, why did we spend like a good like 2-3 minutes on a lady in like in a grocery store?
I don't know.
Didn't work for me.
I've kind of touched on everything I wanted to talk about. If there's anything else you wanna mention about the movie, do we have any predictions for the next one?
I think it's going to be mostly battle. Like, because I've been wrapping my brain, like, how, what else is there to do? Unless you set up another whole hook in the next movie. But it's like, I feel like I said, I felt like 40 minutes we could have wrapped up this movie, and I'm okay. I think they're going to tell a great story. I think my thing is, because I feel like we kind of resoluted the Gwen and Peter betrayal. They're like on their side again. I think you just have to do a huge battle. Like, I think it's going to be multiple battles. I think the double Miles is interesting. And there's a couple articles, if you look them up, there's merit to the idea of 2 Miles. And it's connected to Miguel in the comics. There's a whole story arc. It's strange, but I don't know if they're going to go fully there. But if you're interested in that kind of stuff, look it up. So, you know, unless you want to stay unspoiled. And yeah, I think overall, I think I just... What I appreciate about this movie is it embraces, like, I saw somewhere someone's like, it's a little too goofy. And I'm like, have you read a Spider-Man comic? Like,
yeah.
And I think it just embraces everything about the Spider-Man culture, everything about being a Spider-Man fan. And like the idea that, like, I don't know, there's just, it felt pure in a lot of ways.
I mean, it's no more goofy than the first one, for sure. Like I said, like, you know, some of the jokes didn't work for me, but like, all in all, like, I feel like they weren't trying to be that funny. Like, if anything, they were going for, like, you know, some of the big surprising cameos, stuff like that. But like, I don't know that, like, I mean, this isn't like a comedy in my mind.
Yeah. Did you miss? I'm glitching.
Oh no.
Did you miss Spider-Ham or whatever his name is? And I know they're at the end, but did you miss them?
No. I was really excited to get to know some of the other ones. I felt like the ones we picked up and the new characters we got in this one sufficed. I was pretty happy with the new characters. So, you know, it would have been nice to see them, but, you know, it was kind of the same. All the characters are great to me at this point.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I think you get the core three, Gwen, Peter, and Miles, and having them at the end makes me feel like they're going to be a bigger part in the next movie. But I agree with you. There's too many other characters you want to set up here that to have it be like, also, oh, these people are here and we have to give them attention as well. Didn't work. I guess the only other, because we got kind of a lot of time with him, he's the only other villain. Did you like Renaissance Vulture?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool. It was like a cool concept. Like, and I think he was there for the perfect amount of time. I don't think I needed him to carry the movie or anything. But yeah, it was like he was like a. It was like he was like an origami like vulture. It was really interesting.
With like Da Vinci, I loved like the mechanisms and stuff. Yeah, and then that must be a Bansky joke was also very clever.
It was a callback. I was like,
yeah. Yeah, I just think overall, there's not a lot I can complain about. Like I said, the only complaints I'm really seeing is, it's not as good as the first movie.
Yeah, whatever. It's almost very different. Like, again, like I feel like for me personally, I know a lot of people feel differently. I'm going to have to judge this movie in line with the next one as well.
Yeah. And I'm hearing that from a lot of people. I enjoyed it, but I think like it's the same way I felt with Infinity War. I enjoyed the movie, but how Endgame ends or how Endgame goes will change my opinion for the better or for the worse, depending on it.
Right. So, well, all right, Tommy. I feel like we touched on just about everything. Good Spidey chats. Do we want to do recommendations? I know we've kind of talked about it, you and I. Should I talk about what I watched? Or
yeah, am I going to hear this? You've been like, no. He says we talked about it. Michael has been waiting. Michael has watched one of my favorite animes, the first episode, and has waited because, quote, it's good podcast material to talk about it on the podcast. And so I have been sitting on hand. I had to beg for you to be like, can you at least tell me if you at least enjoyed it? Or if you're on the spectrum of like, where's the needle, you know? And he at least did that for me. So yes, I'm clamoring.
Okay. Well, I didn't know because we talked about other things. So, but I'll give you the initial reaction. First and foremost, I just want to say, I was listening to a podcast with Kevin Smith. And Kevin Smith is just like me. He says that he has to pause down and say, hey, can we talk about this on a podcast? Can we? He says he thinks about everything in terms of content. And no, that's content is his love language. And I think I'm the same way.
No, hey, I just had to dox you, but I do actually see the merit. You know, and I said as much. I see the merit. But yeah, we have a couple, you know, what you're talking about. I think we can talk about this, but we've been pitching ideas of other things we could do out of the ether with these different side things that we like and enjoy.
Yeah, a little bit of experiments going on, cooking up something. All right, I'll get to it. My Hero Academia, and as we've talked about, probably on half of our podcasts, not a big anime guy. And from the outside looking in, My Hero Academia is the epitome of a lot of things that I hate about anime. It's almost a kid's show. Like, there's like the humor in it is charming in a way that adults can enjoy it, but like it's almost built like it could be a kid's show. So like coming in very reluctant. I gotta say the central heart and core, especially of this first episode, really blew me away. I was really impressed. I can't remember the main character's name. He's the young
Midoriya.
Boy. Yeah, he wants to be a superhero, but he doesn't have powers. And like the emotional crux and the flashbacks and like him talking to his mother and like that stuff, like I almost cried watching the first one. I was like, I was really invested in this character. And now you're probably wondering why I haven't watched more. I'm just kind of waiting. Like I got it. I enjoyed it. I feel like I do have some concerns. I know you're about to say something, so I'll let you go to it. But I've got questions.
Yeah, and hey, I hear exactly where you're at. I think the beginning does that. I think what you're vibing with, you will like without spoil. I think you will if the show becomes more. On that, the needle switches. There's still the comedy. There's still the classic anime tropes of over-sexualizing women sometimes. And
oh, yeah, there's some weird stuff.
Yeah, and you just have to listen. My pitch with anime, there's another one, Hunter. There's one of these villains in it who is like notoriously like over-sexualizes weird things that he shouldn't. And like everyone, when they pitch the show, is like, listen, He's going to do some weird things. That's, I can't explain it. I can't justify it. I can't even tell you it's okay.
Yeah,
it's just going to happen. And that's like with this, there's at least one character that you're going to feel that way, but the show kind of roasts him for it. So I think the things you're hitting on, completely valid. I think that's how I felt too at the time. I think I'm here to say that I think if what you're vibing with is Midoriya's heart and Midoriya's spirit, you'll love it. And I think you'll also love, once they get a little bit more into the minutia of powers and the, it reminds me of The Boys, where it's like there's a lot of there's actual elements. Like there's the weaknesses that too are based on like actual physics and stuff. Like it's mm-hmm. it's a little more ticky-tacky, which I enjoy, like the overthinking of these kind of things.
Yeah. So I think my big concern was, and like the probably one of the reasons I haven't moved forward yet, is like I was really concerned about, you know, because I did like that central story so much. I was worried that how long would it take for that growth? Because the other thing is that main character, super annoying at the start. And I could see there's room for growth, and I'm hoping it kind of goes there. But like, he's like getting bullied at school, and like he's the biggest wimp I've ever seen. And like it is like embarrassing and annoying, and kind of a good way. But I don't necessarily want you to say yes, he gets better. But it's something I was a little concerned about. I was like, let's make sure that he grows up.
Yeah. I won't say more because I probably have already given a little tip to the hat a little bit too much. But I will say this, one of my first messages to our good friend, Briz, I believe was Midoriya cries way too much. He cries almost like, I think the majority of the episode is probably him crying.
And we don't cry shame, right? But this
crying shame.
This might be the most crying ever.
Yeah, listen, please cry. But like it's a lot. So yeah. I think what you're feeling is, all I'll say is I think it's valid where you're at.
Okay. All right. And I'm looking forward to doing more. So what's going on in your world? Have you anything you want to, I feel like it's been a minute. You watched anything new that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I watched, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I finished it. If I did.
Naruto?
No, listen, that was a journey. That was 500. I would not recommend that. I still have flashbacks sometimes. No.
You sound like you hate it so much, but you finished it.
I did really love it. It's a long, I don't know. I've watched a lot. I watched Full Metal Alchemist, which is another good anime. I'm going to start Attack on Titans for those that follow. That's my next anime on my list. But I watched in between, I watched a little show called She-Ra and the Princess of Power. I thought I was not going to like it. I was like, let me just try this. Like impressed me with the psychology of the characters, the nuances of the characters, it built on itself. I would say like try the first season. If like the first, obviously like most of these things, the first couple episodes are a lot of world building, a lot of cutesiness to set things up. I think it goes to a place that you honestly are impressed with these kind of shows. The creator is also the writer of Lumberjanes. Also, the does a lot of comic books. Does the new Netflix movie coming out? Nimrora or something like that.
It's not on my radar, unfortunately.
It's coming out on Netflix, but I'm probably butchering the name, so that's part of it. But really loved the show, and if you're looking for that kind of like mix of animation with comic books, with like if you like He-Man and She-Ra. I think you'll really enjoy it, and I think it like takes that kind of like level of like cutesy cartoon and punches it more into the young adult, kind of like Harley Quinn vibes, into a point, like in the idea of like there's multiple layers to a lot of these characters.
Interesting. Yeah, that sounds interesting for sure. I gotta talk about this though, Tommy. Have you seen Perfect Blue?
I have not.
Perfect Blue. So yeah, Michael's side project, Call Me Senpai, a podcast, just came out a couple days ago, actually. It took us a little bit to get going, but we've dropped our first episode. And we talked about the movie from 1997 called Perfect Blue. And It's wild. It's really wild. He hit me with a big one starting off. If you don't know, it's my buddy Luke, who's a big anime fan, trying to get me into anime. And this is like one of the most critically acclaimed anime movies of all time, it seems like, outside of like Studio Ghibli and a lot of that stuff. But Perfect Blue, it's very dark. It's very dark. There's a lot of kind of some weird stuff in there too. The way I've heard about in the past, and it was only in connection to Black Swan, the movie. Apparently that movie copied this one so much. But if you are interested in watching Perfect Blue, I feel like it's not a waste of time by any means. It's very interesting. And if you want to check out the podcast, Call Me Senpai on Spotify.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm just glad that Luke is doing the work. If he can get you in there, then I can start pitching other. If your concern with anime is that it's too kiddish, I think you're watching the wrong anime. Animation will go that path, but I do think you've made me feel better because I thought you were gonna have the opposite reaction. I thought you were not gonna like with Midoriya. I thought you wouldn't like the emotional part of it. So listen, I'm shook and I'm very pleased because I feel good coming out of this conversation.
Yes, and I feel a little more motivated to pick it back up, so I'll keep you updated. All right, Tommy, what else? That's it.
There's news. Listen, Marvel's announcing a lot of things. Star Wars announcing things. There's stuff coming.
Deadpool 3 is going ahead with filming despite. Yeah, it seems like a risky decision.
Don't love it. Also, go support your writers. Yes. It's ridiculous that this is even a conversation that the fact that people have to fight for their rights in Hollywood. I have a lot of, I could go on because I have my own personal feelings on Hollywood right now.
If you don't know the full extent of it, look it up because it's like the things that they're asking for, it's like, they're literally asking for the least possible and like they're not getting it, which is unreal. So, I guess we'll let the TV shows hurt them a little bit until they change their mind. Tommy, let me ask you this. This is what I don't understand. What are the writers doing now? They don't get money. Do they get money?
I mean,
they're just not going to work for a year.
Probably unemployment. Listen, you got to fight for your rights.
You do. I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong. Yeah. I'm just like, geez, that's horrible. It's horrible that they have to, it gets to the point where they basically have to, I guess that's what a strike is, but.
And that's the thing. It's becoming very like ticky tacky. And there actually is a lot of questions about what you can and can't do because a lot of people aren't just writers. They are writers and producers or writers and directors, writers and actors. And there's a big question of, just because you are striking as a writer, are you obligated to then do your job as the producer on the thing? And so, yeah, this is a huge. It's becoming a problem. I think a big thing people are looking for, and again, I know some, but I am not. If I'm saying anything out of turn, I'm only saying what I have heard. But a big thing is the hope that the directors and the actors, because a lot of them are up for their own contracts, will either get some of the things the writers are asking for, and that may help in the negotiations, or they'll start striking too. If all three strike, that's a huge blow to Hollywood at that point. And I don't think it's ever happened. The directors haven't striked in years, like many, when I say years, it's not like 10, it's like 8, like 70 years. It's like ridiculous because like directors get a lot of benefits because like clearly like Hollywood loves directors.
Yeah. Number one, like build person for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy, this was a really good chat. I will start to close this out. I'd like to remind you guys to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe because we're going to be here every single week. And I'm not exact. I think we got some questionable weeks coming up, but we're figuring out stuff. We'll have some content for you folks. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Stark Wars Pod. And also, check out the link in the show note. Check out the merch. I haven't talked about the merch in a while. I think we have great merch. I love our logo. I love the full body design. I love the baseball and the mugs. It's all great. So go grab yourself a little something.
Right now.
Yeah, turn this off. Go. Ah!
What are you doing?
Also, we have a little Discord community going on, so if that's something you're interested in, you can hit us up and we'll get you a link. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye, bye, bye. Bye, bye, bye. Bye 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 bye